You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
The A-List Podcast is brought to you by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the A-List Podcast with A'Sherrod Blakely and Gary Washburn. I'm Kwani Lunis, and the preseason has officially begun. The Celtics are playing basketball. We can finally see what this new team really looks like. So let's just start with the first two preseason games. We'll start with their preseason opener, which was against Philly on Sunday. Pritchard scores 26, Porzingis scores 17, makes the first three shots. And then, of course, we can get into Monday's game as well. But let's start with the very first initial look that you guys got against Philadelphia. What did you think about that team?
Bro, and Pritchard was in the building.
Yeah.
Bro, and Pritchard was in the building, fresh off of inking a four-year, $30 million contract. Listen, you know how most of us, when you get that first big check, what do you do? Nonsense. Foolishness. You just act a fool with your first check, first big check. Peyton Pritchard was like, nah, I'm all about the business. I'm going to show y'all why they put that kind of money into me, even though, you know, up to this point in his career, if we're being honest and real, Peyton hasn't really shown the game that you would expect from someone to get that kind of money. But a lot of that has to do with opportunity. I think Peyton, up to this point, really hasn't had an opportunity to showcase what he can do. And with Marcus Smart gone, with Malcolm Brogdon gone, with Drew Holiday in the mix, but Drew's still kind of acclimating himself, this was Peyton's chance to really kind of show what he could do and the type of player that he could be. And he had a great game. Now, is he going to give you 26 a night? No. That damn sure not going to happen. But you at least know that he's engaged in a way of doing the things that you know he's capable of doing. And when his opportunity to play on a big stage and really kind of have more, frankly, weight of the team on his shoulders, he stepped up and handled his business. So I give Peyton props for stepping up in that first game, putting up big numbers and helping him get that win.
Yeah, the preseason opener was a solid effort in terms of they got everybody in the game. You know, Porzingis, we got some flashes of what he can do. Drew Holiday came off the bench, but Mazzulla told us not to look in too much into what his lineups were. Don't think that that's going to be the starting lineup on opening night. And it also could be different starting lineups on different nights, considering the opponent and you know, who they're facing, big team, small team, et cetera. So it was good to just see everybody out there. Jalen trying to show his improved game. Jason Tatum got off to a little bit of a slow start. And then to see the guys like Peyton come off the bench, score 26 points, and guys play with more confidence. I guess the thing you want to see in the preseason is whether guys have taken that next step, whether they have improved their game, all the stuff that they've worked on in the offseason. How does it look? Do they look more physically imposing? Do they look more confident? Do they appear like they're going to really help this team or take another step forward? And I think that that's what the encouraging part about the first two games were. Obviously, Monday against the Knicks, where they didn't play any their starters, and you know, it was a lot of the guys coming off the bench who were going to be fighting for minutes, and they showed what they could do. So overall, I thought the first two games were positive games. Joe Mazzulla obviously seems a little bit more comfortable in his position, more comfortable in his skin, more comfortable with what he's about to do and the journey that they're about to embark on. So I think it was all positive. The only down was Jay Scrubb, a guy I was looking forward to seeing, a two-way contract, a guy who's kind of come from nowhere, came from the JC ranks and not played Division I ball. tears his ACL in practice, and that's got to be hard for him. He gets his shot. He's trying to show himself, and tears his knee up in practice, and is probably out for the whole year. And so now the Celtics, what do they do with this two-way contract? Do they release? Do they waive him and sign someone else? Do they wait for him to rehab? What do they do? Because that's a tough position to be in when you're on a contract and you all of a sudden that's a two-way deal, then suffer a season-ending injury. I was really looking forward to seeing him and what he could do because I know he was trying to take that next step. You like to see the kids work hard. That was the only unfortunate part of the first two games.
Well, Gary, when you talk about like taking that next step, and there's lots of guys, I think you can look at what they did the first couple of games and kind of see that there's definitely, they're trending in the right direction. Jason Tatum, though, for a minute, Gary, he looks bigger to me. And I'm not sure that's necessarily a good thing. Like when he came to the league, he clearly had to bulk up because he was too damn skinny. He was going to get tossed around like a wet rag doll if he didn't. And now he's at the point where he's starting to look like he's a damn like power forward in the making, the way his body's filling out. I mean, I'm curious, you and Kwani's thoughts on this. Are you concerned that he might be putting on too much weight and it might be affecting his shot making?
I'm not yet. But you're right, he does look – I know you both saw like the year one and the side-by-side photo, but – I don't think it's that bad, but I guess we need a bigger sample size.
I think if you're a Celtics fan, you hope it helps him in the post. You hope he's able to be more physical in the paint, finish through contact, be a little bit stronger with the ball. You hope that it doesn't affect his three-point shot or that he's playing a little bit stiff.
That's what I worry about.
Because it's given football player body build.
You do want to get stronger, and you do want to. So I think, to be honest with you, I think this is the best Jason's should look like, the most sculpted. Like, okay, Jason, you've proved your point.
Stop there.
Stop. You ain't getting don't get no bigger.
Yeah.
You know, you're 6'10". You're gonna be about, you know, you want to get 220. You know, maybe something like that at most. He's probably came into the league. He might have been like 195.
Maybe.
190. So now he's got the bulk. Let's see what happens. But I'm not concerned as much with the bulk. You hope it helps him. But I do think, Shirai, you're right. Like, I would say if I'm the Celtics and trainers and I'm Missoula and Brad, like, stop, you know, stop with the trying to, you know, break the weight lifting record, you know, in the local gyms, and just get stronger and get more wiry strength as opposed to bulky.
Snap into action this NFL season with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, new customers get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place a $5 bet. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, there's no better time to get in on the action. The app is so easy to use, and there's a wide range of betting options, including spreads, player props, over-unders, and more. So visit FanDuel.com/Boston and kick off the NFL season. FanDuel, the official partner of the NFL. 21 and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com, gamblinghelplinema.org, or call 1-800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Yeah.
Well, Sherrod, you mentioned Pritchard's effect on their first game, but moving on to that game against New York, they did lose, 7-point loss. Pritchard had 21, 5 assists, 3 rebounds, but then Delano Banton is the one that kind of stood out, I would say, with the 20 points. What did you two see in his game? And coming off of the bench, how is that going to be a plus for the Celtics?
What do you think, Gary? Because you've seen a little bit more of him than I have.
I like Banton. I still think he's more of a project. He didn't play a lot in his years in Toronto. He's still a young guy. But I think this bench is going to be interesting because there's going to be a lot of opportunity. Mm-hmm. You know, you have, you know, whoever is the odd man out in the starting five, whether it be Derek White or Drew Holiday or whatever, you know. Like
still we'd be, TBD.
Yeah, there's just that, you know, White would be your sixth man or whoever would be your sixth man. You got your strong six. Then you got like Hauser and you got O'Shea Brissett, Sherrod's buddy. And, you know, Syracuse. Yeah.
We get it.
Go Orange. Anyway, you get those guys, but I also think there's some dogs in this team. Like, you know, I like Nemus Kieta. Mm-hmm. I liked, definitely like Lamar Stevens. Definitely liked him. Thought he put some good minutes together. Banton, you got guys who are fighting for their NBA, not lives.
But
they're fighting for, like, to get a role on a team, a consistent role. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be a lot of competitive ball in camp that I think will help this team and help the bench, because the bench needed help. It needed a boost, right? You know, said you got your, you know, you got your strong six, and then you got Hauser and Payton, and you got guys who have been NBA, but even Payton's got something to prove. Hauser's got something to prove. Stevens, Banton. So I was impressed with Banton. You know, I think his Achilles heel has been his shooting over the years. You know, as Nick Nurse told us before the game, he just said he wasn't really a good shooter. But if he can knock down that shot, the same with Lamar Stevens, like their bench can be young and athletic, and that's what you want. You want to bring, like, the one thing I think they should take from the Miami Heat is, like, guys like Haywood Highsmith, guys that not household names, but bringing off athletic guys off the bench, not a bunch of old dudes, bringing guys out that got something to play for. And the bench is filled with guys with something to play for.
Yeah, and I mean, and the thing about those type of players is that you have to, as a coaching staff, really help them hone in and develop one specific skill that it really amplifies their athleticism. For example, if they have this great wingspan and lateral quickness, help them become an elite defender. If they really move well without the ball, help them to just, you know, run along that baseline and find ways to get easy baskets. If they have a nice shooting stroke, or maybe it needs the mechanics need a little bit of refinement, help them become a 3-and-D guy. Figure out a way that they can give you something that can really, again, give you something that you don't have. Because when I look at the Celtics roster and I look at those guys at the end of the bench, first and foremost, they're thirsty as hell. I mean, even though they're not necessarily playing for their basketball lives, they're approaching these games as if they're playing for their basketball lives. Mm-hmm. And you need to have that edge, that intensity, that energy coming off your bench, particularly when you got a team that is as top heavy as the Celtics are. They are legitimately 6'7" strong, night in and night out. But typically when you win a championship, there's that eighth, ninth guy who can help you win a game that you may not otherwise win, could be the difference between winning a championship and not. The Celtics could have used a guy like that, you know, a couple years ago when they were in the NBA Finals. They needed one guy to be a difference maker for one night and help them get a win. And that could have been the difference between turning that series around against the Warriors. So they have a lot of those type of players. When you look at Lamar Stevens, you look at O'Shea Brissett, you look at, you know, a number of guys that weren't with the team a year ago. And if you're Joe Mazzulla, that's maybe the biggest challenge you have. It's not so much figuring out how to make your core group work, because those guys are so talented, they're going to figure things out just because they're that good and they're that talented. But how can you supplement them? How can you get the most out of those guys at the end of the bench who are hungry, who are thirsty? They want to be better. They want to be coached. They want to be improved upon. How can you do that within the confines of figuring out which buttons to push on which nights? So, again, there's a lot of things that the preseason, I hope, we'll get a little bit of clarity on. But to me, the biggest thing is how are you going to craft that bench going forward, because your bench is going to help you win some games. Your starters are going to carry the load most nights, but you're going to have at least one or two games every month on a minimum where your bench is going to have to really step up in order to win. And in the playoffs, you're probably going to have, in the best of seven series, at least one or maybe two games where your bench is going to be a difference maker, good or bad. So you want that to be on a positive ledger side if you're the Celtics, obviously.
So speaking specifically about Banton, what do you think? Everything we talk about early on in the season is going to be the very small data that we have based off of how they play. But do you think this performance puts him in the rotational conversation just yet?
I do.
I think it does. Yeah. But by no means is it that's going to be a fluid thing all year. When I look at these first couple of games, if there's one guy who I thought would be, you know, pretty much in that top, if they went nine deep, would be pretty much there night in and night out, it's Sam Hauser. And I'm not sure that's the case. Because here's the thing, if Sam's not knocking down shots and he's not a great rebounder, and I think he's not nearly as bad a defender as people think he is. But if he's not knocking down shots, his value is very, very limited. Whereas a guy like Banton shows a lot of versatility. Brissett, not a great three-point shooter, but is a pretty good defender and rebounder, and he can knock down an open shot from time to time. Those are the kind of things that are going to get you on the floor when you're coming off that bench. And Sam Hauser, to me, that's the one guy that I think so far has been a little bit of a disappointment, because he's better than what we've seen so far. It's just a matter of, can he get into a flow, get into a rhythm, and become that, you know, morph into the shooter that we know he is capable of being? It remains to be seen if that's the case.
I also think Svi Mihalyk, right?
You said it better than I did the last time we talked about him. Like, I'm just gonna
keep calling him Svi. He had five threes.
You can't guard nobody, G.
Yeah, I think he knows his role, and I think if Hauser slips, Svi could take some of those minutes. I think Svi's an NBA player. Like, the one thing that they have that I saw last night in the Knicks game was they got all those guys on the floor were NBA players. Even J.D. Davidson, it was good to see him take a step and learn to play more of a point guard role. Now, I don't know how Payton's extension affects Davidson, because I thought that was a guy they might kind of use to replace Payton as kind of a backup point guard eventually. But I think he'll do a good full year in the G League again, and then they'll make a decision on him in the future going forward. But I liked the game J.D. Davidson had. But I think I liked what he was able to do out there. He can shoot from any spot in the floor, and they don't have that. They don't have that, you know, and you'd like to say Hauser could be that guy, but he's been inconsistent. They don't have that Duncan Robinson, that dude who just can be a game changer just from his shooting, right? Like, believe me, Duncan's got his issues, and Duncan is not the greatest defender and all that, but that dude can change a game in 2 to 3 possessions with 2 to 3 threes, just boom, boom, boom. And I thought Svi is a guy, when he gets hot, he can shoot. And you need shooters on your team. The Celtics have lacked shooting over the years. And Hauser, I think he started at 1 for 13. I don't know, 1 for 14, I'm not sure. But like Sherrod said, he's had two subpar games. You know, his minutes aren't guaranteed. But I think Svi is a guy who can get some minutes. Not all those guys are going to play. But I think the encouraging sign for Celtic fans is that this bench actually is filled with NBA caliber players, not the Juwan Morgans and some of these guys. No, nothing against that guy personal.
Why are you not picking Juwan Morgan, man?
It's always a bad idea when you start listing names.
Some of these guys who just were not no longer in the league, who are overseas or something, not even in camps, you need NBA guys on your bench and let them fight it out for minutes. If a guy's unhappy, see about trading him at the deadline or figure it out. But I like the fact that when I looked at the game on Monday with guys like Lamar Stevens, man, they got NBA players. And they pushed the Knicks. The Knicks were playing, you know, they didn't play all their guys 40 minutes, but it was their opener, right? It was a Knicks opener. So they played Brunson and Randall and Barrett and Quigley, and they played their main guys. They kind of emptied the bench in the fourth quarter, but the Celtics hung with the first team Knicks, and that's encouraging.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, moving on to Jason Tatum, the star of this team. We saw him play against Philly. He struggled a little bit, didn't play against New York. So are you concerned about the fact that he didn't play as well as he was expected to play in the first game?
Hell no, not at all. I was listening to the ESPN broadcast, and JJ Redick told a really interesting story, and I think it's very applicable to Jason Tatum. He talked about when he was a rookie, how they were playing like the Atlanta Hawks, and he was trying to, you know, do what rookies do, trying to make an impression. He's going 100 miles an hour, and Joe Johnson is just like, bro, man, chilling, just kind of going through the motions. And that's when, you know, the moral of the story that JJ was telling was how, you know, when you're a veteran player, you don't approach preseason games as if they're games. It's just a glorified practice. So for you, it's about getting your cardio. It's not even so much about getting into a rhythm shooting a ball. It's about just getting your body physically in the flow of the action. And so that's why with Tatum, I'm not worried about his shot making, because I think it's going to be there when it matters most. For me, the big thing for him is just to be out there, get some cardio, try to get his teammates involved, because to me, that's a part of his game that I like to see growth in, just getting others involved. And I think he's made growth in that area the last 2 or 3 years. Keep building on that. And as far as shot making, that's going to come. I mean, that's the last thing I'm worried about with Jason Tatum. But I can certainly understand if you're looking for him to be like Jason Tatum regular season in preseason game 1 or 2, which ain't realistic, you're freaking out about how he's shot the ball. He hasn't shot the ball well. But again, I'm not consumed by that, because at the end of the day, it's preseason. And veteran players know that. That's why, you know, and they're not tripping. When coach says come out, players are like damn near sprinting to get off the damn floor, because they just want to get out and get some cardio. So,
not concerned. You know, I think Jason will be fine. I think he wants to, like Sherrod said, get in basketball, complete basketball shape, get used to his new teammates, maybe a new role. And I do think he wants to work on his 3-point game. I do think he wants to start off and probably get off to better starts. And I think that was maybe one of his problems over the years, is just starting slow, and especially in the playoffs, the 1-for-10s, and then coming back and having this crazy second half to where, you know, he ends up having a great game. I think he wants to start faster, but I'm not concerned about the minutes. I do think he was emphasizing, as Shiraz had made the point of the preseason, is to emphasize games, parts of your game that you just want to do. I think Jason was trying to attack the rim. He was trying to get to the free throw line. He was trying to do some work on some things, as opposed to like, okay, I'm going to run this offense because we need to win this game. So I think the priorities were a little different than a normal regular season game, but I'm not concerned with Jason shooting.
All right. Well, Jaylen Brown, I know you both saw the video that was posted on the internet, which honestly, editorially wise, there was no point in that video. Like, there wasn't anything happening. He was just dribbling, happened to be with his left, happened to not be as successful as you'd expect it to be for a professional basketball player. But if you guys didn't see it, it's probably on Twitter, that now called X. But Jaylen's left hand, what do you two think? Do we need to talk about that this early in the season, or are we just being trolled by everyone?
We're totally being trolled. We are totally.
Because why?
Here's the thing, though. I mean, it's something that is going to come up night in and night out, because it stands out. And it really, you know, it's not nearly as bad as that video that posted on Twitter. It ain't that bad.
That didn't need to be there.
Yeah, but there were moments in that first game where, you know, that left hand dribble was not as tight as it should be. And I think that's part of just a work in progress with Jaylen. I think it's something that he is very well aware of. And I think he is making strides to get better, but he's got some work to do. Because I'm not comfortable or confident in his ability to use that left-handed dribble drive to get to where he wants to get to. Too many times I think he gets caught up, whether he gets poked or he gets uh, gets it, bounces off his foot, or something goes wrong more times than it should. And so, one of the benefits of having a guy like Jrue Holiday is that Jaylen doesn't have to dribble as much in half-court sets. He can be set up to attack folks in a much more conventional dribble, drive, finish at the rim type of manner, as opposed to bringing a ball up and then dribbling, trying to shake free from a guy who's guarding you and maybe use a screen to do that, maybe not. So it's not where I wish it were, but it's not, I wouldn't call it trash or atrocious, which are some of the descriptions I remember seeing on social media. It ain't that. It's just not great yet.
Yeah. I'm not as concerned about Jaylen dribbling the ball behind his back, as that video showed, as I am his decision-making. And there was one play against Philadelphia that was a concern. He had kind of a breakaway. He stole the ball and he dribbled, and there were three guys behind him, and he decided to go 1-for-3 on three, and he got ripped. And that's not only always handled. Yeah, he could have done, he could have done, I don't know, Stephon Marbury or whoever, Kyrie Irving, and dribbled in between the three and got to the rim and took, but that's not his game. All right. And what I'd like to see from Jaylen is play your game. 1-on-3 is not your game. Now, if you get the ball up and get to the rim, that is your game. But you dribbling through three defenders and getting the ball, that's going to be hard. The scouting report says, rip them. Weak handle. So you got to get you when you see three defenders and you're like, oh, I can take all three. No, you take the dribble and you dribble back out and you hold it up and you keep that key possession. Don't give the ball away. And I saw he was dribbling and then somebody came from behind. Now, should somebody have called ball or warned him, and he got stripped. But it was also, he was taking on three defenders. So it's not necessarily dribbling. It's the decision-making, dribbling into traffic, dribbling into against defenders who know how to rip the ball.
Right.
Right. Like, that's what I would like to see better from Jaylen, not the handle. Okay. I think he's working on it. I mean, I've seen him work. Like, he ain't working on his handle. No, he is. Like, these dudes aren't stupid. They know what their weaknesses are. They know what they need to work on. Now, will Jaylen ever be a great ball handler? Will he ever be Marcus Haynes? Look that up. Google that, folks. Look, YouTube Marcus Haynes. You don't know what I'm talking about. That's YouTube, Kwani, because that's way before your time.
Okay, thank you, Gary.
But he's a great globetrotter and used to dribble like still the greatest dribbler I've ever seen. And maybe next, maybe second is Isaiah Thomas, the original OG Isaiah.
The one without the extra A.
Yes, but he's never going to be those guys. But what he can do is make better on-court decisions with the ball, not dribble into traffic if you don't have that elite handle to where you're going to keep the ball. Kyrie Irving can do that. You know, Steph Curry can do that. But you're not, that guy. So when you're taking 1-on-3, either pull up for a jumper, but don't try to dribble in between three defenders because he got ripped. And Philadelphia took it back down the floor. And to me, that's what concerns me, the decision-making. Not necessarily ball handling. Knowing in your back of your mind, I'm not an elite ball handler, so I should not dribble into three defenders to try to get to the basket. If he doesn't do that, then he doesn't get exposed with his dribbling. If he makes a better decision, if he sees three defenders, pass it on out, post up, take a short jumper, go hard to the basket with one dribble, not But I honestly, I see him working on his handle, left-handed, working, with the coaches, trying to get to the basket, be crafty. I see him working on it. So if I was a Celtics fan, I wouldn't be concerned, oh, he hasn't worked on his handles. Jaylen knows his weaknesses. The team is telling him that. The world is telling him that. Twitter is telling him that. I'm sure they tell him that in the streets. But I think he's just got to be a better decision maker. If he makes better decisions and cuts down one or two of those two turnovers per game, I ain't worried about his dribbling.
Mm-hmm. All right, Jalen, if you're listening, you know the answer now. We got you. All right. Who would you two say are, if any, other standouts from the two preseason season games that
Shane.
Oh, my gosh.
Can you see? No, seriously, though. He's been
That's
good.
That's actually clever. Oh, Shane, can you see? That was good. I like that one.
He's been good.
Kwani, that ain't clever. Stop that. Bad. Don't do that. That's not clever. Good,
bad dad joke.
No, Kwani,
Shane, can you see? Was pretty good, Kwani. It's all right.
Jersey. Yeah. That's impressive.
Boston changed me. Boston changed me for the worse. The dad jokes, as me now.
Corny, the corny.
Proud dad with no kids.
Don't encourage him, please.
All right.
O'Shea Brissett.
Gary Washburn is Defensive Player of the Year, front runner. O'Shea's been good. I thought, I think for him, the key is just being consistent. And really, all those guys on the bench. And that doesn't mean you have to score 10 to 15 points every night and get 6-7 rebounds. You just have to have a presence. Make your impact felt night and night. There are a lot of games where guys may only play 6-7 minutes, but they're 6 productive minutes where they're defending, they're rebounding, they're boxing out, they're closing out on shooters. They're doing all the little things that lead to runs that your team has to go on in order to be successful. And I thought O'Shea, you know, more so in game one than game two, but I thought he did a good job of just being active and engaged, trying to bring some energy in the building. That dunk he had that got waved off. You know, little things that may not seem like that big a deal in the final box score, you come to realize were really important during a key critical stretch that the team went on. And so, you know, O'Shea, he's been one of those guys that's been, I think, a little bit better than I think a lot of people thought.
I'm trying to look here. And
according to my hood research.
Yeah, my hood research. I like Lamar Stevens. I thought Kato played a good, solid, you know,
Hey, what are you drinking, Sherrod? Look at that. I'm sorry, but look at this container.
Hold up.
Got a whole gallon in that Yeti.
It's a jug.
Bruh.
Right, you want to give us some? You want to pass?
Right, you sure do that in the 40? Whole
class. Sherrod, drinking 40s.
It's 5 o'clock. It's
I don't do
o'clock.
That so stuff, should. Gary. What you're are you off, talking about? I've never done that stuff.
You off the clock.
He said 5:04. I'm ready.
It's middle time.
I've never done that stuff it's before, Gary. Time. What are you talking about?
Goodness. Anyway.
Sorry. Anyway.
I thought Keita was strong. You know, 7 points, 4 rebounds, 14 minutes. I thought, you know, Stevens. I was going to say Stevens, 27 minutes, 11 points, 8 rebounds, an assist and a steal, you know, 3 offensive rebounds, which is really what the Celtics need. And Keita, 4 offensive rebounds. So dudes hungry around the basket are going to give the Celtics extra possessions. That's what they need. I thought that they performed, the bench performed well. Jordan Wall, 7 rebounds in 19 minutes. I thought he was okay, you know. I thought overall there was no, I said, Hauser 2 for 9 from 3, you know, but he still had 8 rebounds in 25 minutes. So, I mean, everybody did their share. I don't think that there was someone out there who was like, man, this dude don't look ready. I didn't see that. But I was replaced with Keita and Lamar Stevens. I think Lamar Stevens is going to help this team.
All right, quickly looking around the NBA, specifically at Victor Wemby and Chet Holmgren. They both had their debuts, and we were lucky that they were actually playing each other. Did it go better or worse than you expected for either player and team? Both player, not the team.
Better. They were better than I thought
they'd
be.
They looked good.
They looked good. I mean, they look like, if you're saying this is the future of the NBA, how's this going to look? It's like, damn. They both look good. And
we waited a whole year for Chet at that. So that made the anticipation even bigger.
Yeah, I mean, Chet's on that Ben Simmons redshirt freshman program.
But looking better than Ben could.
Ben Simmons / Joel. And I think Joel Embiid might have been on that same program.
2 years.
Okay, right. So it's hit or miss.
Exactly. But no, they both look good. They both look athletic. They were basically what they were. They played the way that they were expected to play, and that's be dominant, be impactful, run the floor really well, show just an offensive, you know, skill set that stands out because of how tall and long they are. Put the ball on the floor. Both of those guys can put the ball on the floor a little bit. Chet, I think, is better at that than Victor. But at the end of the day, you know, this is going to be, you know, two guys that are going to be going at each other for years to come. Mm-hmm. You know, and with both of them being out west, you know, it's, they're going to have to knock off one another to get to the finals over the long extended period of their time in the NBA. And that's going to be interesting to see how that evolves and how their relationship evolves, because they're going to be two of the best players among first-year players this year. I don't think there's any question about that. Bottom line is both of those guys, I thought, had a good start, and we're going to see this matchup for years to come as they both fight their way and their teams try to fight, get their teams to the NBA Finals, and they're going to have to go through each other to do that.
Well, I love that for us because the future is bright. Gary, you were going to say something?
Oh, I mean, just good. I'm impressed with Wembanyama, like, you know, in summer league, he looked like he was a little bit physically overwhelmed, but he looks like he's getting more comfortable. Apparently, he's gained 18 pounds in the last 3 months. So the Spurs are the right, perfect program for him. They're going to take him along slowly. They're going to have him playing in a perfect position. I remember back in the day when I covered the Sonics and Kevin Durant as a rookie, he played the two guard, right? People were like, that's crazy, but he was a 175-pound 6'9", 6'10" back then, shooting guard. You know, he had all the skills of a guard, but he was 6'10". He was barely, I said before, barely 200 pounds, if that. I would say 175, 180. And PJ Carlesimo used him as shooting guard for his rookie year to maximize his potential, maximize his spots, make sure he wasn't playing against a lot of the big burly guys back then. He wasn't playing against those physical power forwards in the mid 2000s and the Oakleys and the little old there. But you know, some of those guys were just going to be shoving him around the paint. That wasn't going to happen. You know, he was playing on a perimeter. So I think it's a good idea for San Antonio to use Wembanyama in the perimeter until he gets physically ready to play with the big guys.
All right, before we close out, because I always do like a quick Twitter or X scan before we wrap up our podcast, in case anything had broken while we were chatting. Nothing broke necessarily, but Derek White did not make ESPN's top 100 ranked players list for this upcoming season. Do you think he should have been on that list?
Top 100, woo, yeah. That's tough.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing about top 100 lists. You got to keep in mind that the NBA, you know, you're talking about 30-plus teams, and you're probably talking about the top 3-plus players. And on the Celtics, you know, you got Tatum and Brown. You've got Porzingis, and you got Jrue Holiday. I mean, you've got four guys right there that are going to be in that top 100 somewhere. And the idea of having five guys in the top 100 – someone is probably going to get slighted, and Derek, you can make a case that he got slighted. I'm not sold on that though. You can make a case, but I'm not necessarily buying it.
Yeah, I'm not. You know, like Sherrod said, like that's the league is a 450 players. So you're saying that Derek is, you know, the top 20% of players in the league, almost, you know, 25%. I think it's on the bubble. You know, if it was 200, then it'd be a problem.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. He might be 116. I don't think that's offensive, right?
Yeah.
He's coming off a good, solid year, all defensive team. But next year, if he has another solid year, obviously he'll crack the 100, probably crack the 70 mark if he takes that step forward.
What makes this fun is that Grant Williams is at number 97, and he was at 99 last year.
He'll moving on now.
Right. No longer with this team. But that's all we have for this week's episode of the A-List podcast. The season's here. They have two more preseason games until the real games begin. But we'll keep watching. We'll keep keeping you informed as to what's going on. If you haven't already, this is the perfect time to start sharing the podcast. Basketball is back. send this episode to a Celtics fan as they prepare for this glorious year of fandom. And until then, for H.R. Blakely and Gary Washburn, I'm Kwani Lunis. This is the A-List Podcast.
New FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. Plus, all customers who bet $5 will get $100 off NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV.
Ever wish you could navigate the betting field with the confidence of a pro? Enter Odds On. They're not a sports book, but they're the sports betting advisor you always needed. It's like having a playbook for smarter bets right in your pocket. I've been absolutely loving the experience, and I think you will too, especially since Celtics All Access listeners get a 30-day free trial. Elevate your game day and join the smart betting revolution. Go get it at oddsr.com/Celtics. That's oddsr.com/Celtics.